Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hour number three of a Buck and Sook edition of Primetime. No Isaac. He is in Las Vegas for his lovely wife's birthday, I do believe. They are at the Wynn, where they always are. He will either come back with COVID or he vows to never go back again. We'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, at this point, he is the Buffalo Bills and Las Vegas is the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's
and he
exactly
puts up
right.
a good fight, but we know he's not winning that battle. So we shall see if he's able to overcome, unlike Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And I feel for the people. If you're a Buffalo Bill fan today, I don't know what to tell you. Like, when we talk about like being a Cleveland fan, we talk about being a Detroit fan, I think Bill fan might be... it might be the worst, because at least if you're the Lions up until recently, you had no hope. You just were beaten down. You were downtrodden. It didn't matter. You know, Cleveland, you haven't been close that many times, but the Bills, four straight Super Bowl losses.
And now they're really close against just another seemingly unbeatable foe.
You've got a generational quarterback, like everything's going well. And the way you lose, like the way you keep getting your just kicked in the you know what and your heart ripped out. And this year it felt like the Chiefs were vulnerable. Felt like this was your year, and it's right there, and you can't get 1 yard, and then you got the weird ref calls and I feel for you, Bills fan. If I could monkey paw a super wish here, a sports wish, I would give you a Super Bowl.
It's like,
but I can't.
It's like, you know, it just wasn't your day, but you've said that for years.
Yeah.
It's really rough.
And the Chiefs aren't going anywhere. I said, this is the worst version of the Chiefs. And if they win their fourth Super Bowl with this one, look out, because I would assume that this version is going to get better down the road.
Yeah. Cause this was essentially a partially rebuilt version, at least on the offensive side of the ball.
Yes.
Coming up later this hour, back to our conference championship charcuterie with the NFC championship game.
Charcuterie board.
And in the club tonight, have a couple things to get into, including a term that I hadn't heard in travel, over tourism, as well as, let's see, we have over 100 New York City educators accused of sexting relationships with their students. That doesn't sound great.
This is the new one. We're now sexting kids.
I guess.
Stop leaving paper trails.
Yeah. Don't want to be doing that. And additionally, one notable Oregon State Beaver lost about $23 billion today. We'll have to talk about what's going on with DeepSeek, because apparently it's causing all kinds of mess for our financials over here in the U.S., at least in the tech industry. But before we do all of that, it's back to some sports news with the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. Number five.
Well, we did have some non-football action over the weekend. The first tennis major wrapped up, the Aussie Open. Number two seed American Madison Keys breaking through for her first Grand Slam title. And then on the men's side of things, Jannik Sinner, after essentially getting a walkover against Novak Djokovic in the semis, he goes on to beat Alexander Zverev in the final. Additionally, on the PGA Tour, we had the Farmers Invitational I had Ludwig Oberg in that one. He got sick with the bubble guts and didn't look very good at the end, but what we did have was Harris English closing that thing out. But the thing everyone has their eyes on now, as we know, it's a TGL day, baby, and usually a TGL Tuesday, but I'm thinking because that golf tournament finished on a Saturday, this one's coming Monday. Tiger, Rory, Boston Common,
Mike
the
Trout.
Jupiter Links. Mike Trout is there. David Ortiz is there. One of the dudes from One Direction is there. They are trying to make this as star-studded as possible. I'm afraid it's not becoming a thing.
Dude, this thing is going to die a slow, painful death.
This is
the XFL.
This is their big week with Tiger versus Rory. My guess is it doesn't do numbers, and my guess is they shut it down.
I love watching Scott Van Pelt have to care.
Yeah.
You just see the pained look on his face.
Little NBA news. The Blazers, sadly or gladly, depending on where you sit, saw their win streak come to an end against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday. They lose to Thunder just by 10 after their four-game win streak. They have a day off today. Then they host the Milwaukee Bucks. You often go to this game. Are you going to the Bucks game
tomorrow? I got a buddy of mine that's from the fine, great city that is Milwaukee. And we usually go together, but he's been battling some illness. I don't know.
Gotcha.
If he's up for it, we'll end up going, but... Look, at this point, I don't care about. There's no reason to watch this team.
Also, in the
this team is so bad.
In the NBA, this season, it's now the third time that the Miami Heat have suspended Jimmy Butler. They first suspended him for 7 games for conduct detrimental with his trade request. Then they suspended him for 2 games because he missed the team flight. They suspended him for the road trip. Now they've told him he will not be in the starting lineup, so apparently he just walked out of the building and said, screw you guys, I'm going home.
So he's suspended indefinitely.
And now it's indefinite.
I was listening to Danny and Dusty today, minus Dusty, and I believe Danny said that in the last 3 years, you know, because some people are upset that the Blazers have won a few games in a row.
Right.
Oh, don't worry. They still suck. He said after the, I want to make sure I get this right, I believe it was after the trade deadline, which is out in like 10 days, the last 3 seasons, I think the Blazers have a combined 13 wins.
Ooh, tasty.
No one pulls the cord quite like this team after the trade deadline, so just... If you
something
think this,
to keep
if
an
you
eye
think this team's winning too many games, just give it a week and a half.
Well, number three, some movement in the college ranks as defensive coordinator for the national championship Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Knowles, is packing his bags. He's going in conference to State College, Pennsylvania, and Penn State. Now, reports from Brett McMurphy were that he wanted to be the highest paid defensive coordinator in college football, and he will be. 3 years, $9.3 million. Apparently, that was too rich for Ohio State's blood, and they said, don't even bother coming to the parade.
Well, I mean, no offense, Jim Knowles, but really? You're the best coordinator in football? I don't blame Ohio State for being like, yeah, okay, man. We'll go find some. That is not a $3 million defensive coordinator.
Also saw some reports that there are some NFL teams that are potentially interested in Chip Kelly's services as an offensive coordinator once again. We'll see if that gets any legs as some of these new staffs start to get ironed out. But it seems like he's in a pretty good spot now in Columbus. One of those staffs getting ironed out right now, the Seattle Seahawks. They have a new offensive coordinator. Of course, Mike McDonald now going into his second season as head coach. He's bringing in Clint Kubiak of the Gary Kubiak family tree.
Hmm. Well, I don't know a whole lot about Clint, but Gary Kubiak was my offensive coordinator in Denver.
Is that right?
Yes. He had a very sharp haircut and was a very bright mind. And we talked about this a week ago. Trust me, there is no greater form of nepotism
than NFL nepotism.
Yeah. I mean, you think the Bronny James, I'm telling you, from Schottenheimer to Kubiak, when you got a last name, it carries a lot of weight. And I'm not saying Clint Kubiak isn't well qualified. We'll see what happens.
Well, these Kubiaks are all over the place. Clay Kubiak is the OC on the 49ers staff. So now you have brother Kubiaks in the same division. Both have worked for Kyle Shanahan.
And I think Gary, who is the father, was I think he retired for health reasons.
Number one.
Yeah, I think he had heart stuff going on, perhaps.
Happened,
yeah. So. But I believe his last season was in 2017 with Denver, and that was actually where Clint got his first gig. Yeah. So, yeah, nepotism, alive and well.
Job with his dad? No.
What's that?
He got a job with his dad? I can't believe it.
Unbelievable.
That never happens.
Unbelievable.
I also love when they hired Brian Schottenheimer for the Cowboys. If you notice in the press release what they say before anything else, they say Marty's record and the number of wins he had.
Not even his.
They're like, oh, yeah, his dad was really good.
If the press release is starting out with his dad is pretty good, you got some problems. And number one, of course, our Super Bowl matchup is set. The public loved the Dogs going into Sunday, but it is not the Dogs. It is the favorites advancing through. The Chiefs, through the slimmest of margins over the Buffalo Bills, go to their third straight Super Bowl, or chance to win their third straight Super Bowl. And then on the other side of things, the Eagles absolutely mollywhopping the Washington Commanders, 55 points, the most ever scored in a conference championship game.
And by the way, I mean, some of that was just turnovers, right? I mean,
some of those fumbles were really bad.
That was a close, I mean, all three of those led to touchdowns.
That game was closer than the score indicated.
Yeah, and then it got out of hand and they blew it out. The Eckler one was really bad. I think it was a 10-point game. Washington's driving, fourth quarter. They score, and, you know, that's a 3 or 4-point game. I forget if it was 10 or 11. Fumble. You know, Philadelphia gets it. Thanks for coming. Goes up 3 scores and game's over. But I think you did see there, if you are hoping for Kansas City to lose, that was the best version of Philly we've seen. If Jalen Hurts, and he's the key to that whole thing.
Yep.
My way too early Super Bowl analysis. Kansas City is Kansas City, and they have the best player in the world, and they have the best defensive coordinator, and you just trust them. Andy Reid, they win in the margins. You cannot question their greatness. Philadelphia is a better team. They have better talent across the board than Kansas City. So I think this is fun in that you have two very good elite defensive coordinators. I think you have one truly elite offensive mind in Andy Reid. I think you have a superior team in Philadelphia, and you have the ultimate X factor. You have the best player in the world, maybe the best player of all time. And I think this is a great matchup. But if Jalen Hurts plays the way he did in that game against the Commanders, Philadelphia can and will beat Kansas City. But that's a big if. That's the best Hurts has looked all year.
It's a big if, but we will talk about just how good Jalen Hurts looked and just how good the entire Philadelphia team looked, both offense and defense. We will do that coming up next. That was the Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victoricos.com. When you think flavor, think Victorico's. The conference championship charcuterie board continues next, NFC title game edition, where the Eagles thump the Commanders. Coming up next, primetime, 1080 The Fan. All ends with beginnings. Welcome back to primetime. Little switcheroo, little musical chairs going on over here. Our compatriot Schultzy feeling a little under the weather. Had to bail. So
I love that. Like Schultzy during the break, let you behind the curtain. Schultzy goes, "Hey guys, I don't mean to do this, but because literally I've been thrown up like every 3 minutes." We're like, what? We had no idea.
No, I did see him go over towards the door a couple times. And I didn't have any idea what was going on. So I was like, whatever. Like things are fine. Then he's like, basically told us during the break, "Hey guys, things are real bad over here." And I'm like, oh.
So
okay.
Schultzy's like, is there puke in the, did he take the garbage can with him?
I made sure the garbage cans were outside. They were at least cleaned before. There's still a little bit of an odor. Not a ton, but I've brought the disinfecting wipes in. Let's hope it's a little food poisoning.
Well, I will say that if you're not feeling well, probably not a good idea for Schultzy to be drinking that 64-ounce Frappuccino Dutch thing that he had in there. I can't imagine that's good coming up. That's bad.
Ooh, yeah, I wasn't really thinking about that.
Yeah, well, I saw, like, he said that he was throwing up, and then I saw that he had, like, a three-quarter drink. He drinks every day. He drinks one of those giant, like, milkshake coffee things. And I'm like, I can't imagine that's good on the other end. So I feel for Schultzy, and I always, like, he's always so apologetic. He's like, "Hey, guys, I'm sorry." I'm like, dude, you're yakking. Like, get out of here. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, so we are going to figure it out, and I'm trying to figure out the YouTube cameras over here as we speak, but we'll get through that.
It's a work in progress, so bear with us at this point. We're working with one hand tied behind our back.
But we will make it happen. It's what we do over here. Let's get into the NFC title game, and there's a bazillion ways you could go, but I was so impressed by both defensive coordinators this weekend. I thought that the approach, and maybe this is just the kiss of death, but I thought that game was over when I saw how many plays and how much time it took Washington to score on their first drive. It was like, we saw it in the title game with Notre Dame, their first drive. You saw it even in that Indiana-Ohio State game where it feels like the kiss of death when the underdog team comes in and has this perfectly scripted, perfectly ideal first drive, and then that's about all they have for you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you go on that drive that lasted, like, I want to say it was like an 8-9 minute drive like that, and you look at something like that, the way like Philadelphia and a lot of these defenses are playing now is they're just simply going to say, if you beat us going 15 yards or 15 plays, I think actually theirs was like 19, but if you go 19 plays and you go down the field on us, good for you, but we're counting that you are going to F up somewhere along those 19 plays, or we're going to make a big play. And that's what they did throughout the course of the game. I think Washington only had maybe one play above 20 yards, kept everything in front of them. And I actually thought Jaden Daniels, for the most part, played well. I didn't think Jaden Daniels was the issue there in Washington. Far from it. I think you just saw in that game, that was a little bit like what you saw in the college football playoff, where clearly the Commanders deserve to be there, right?
Definitely. They absolutely earned their spot in that game.
Those teams are not equal. Outside of Jaden Daniels, like, who really right now appears to be a really special quarterback.
Yeah.
And I know rookie years, like CJ Stroud regressed. You know, we see teams that regress. I would assume that the future is very bright for Daniels and very bright for Washington, but this wasn't. And we even said this going into this game. I can't believe they beat Detroit. I think more of that was a product on, I think Detroit was so beat up and they picked the wrong time to have a 5-turnover game.
That's just it. We knew that they were keeping the defense held together with bubble gum and floss. And then on top of it, they just gave the ball away way too many times.
Yeah, they lost their starting corner, in the first series of that game. And then it just spiraled from there. Washington just wasn't, and I thought for three quarters they had a good accounting of that, but Philadelphia was just better than Washington. They had better game plan. It was better executed. They were just better across the board, and I thought that Jalen Hurts played his best game. And Philly is 14-3, so let's not act like Philly is somehow of like this little underdog story. Like I said, I think this is the best roster in the NFL. It's the number one rushing attack. It's the number one defense by a lot of metrics. But they're like the 28th or 29th best passing team in the league. When Jalen Hurts has to, and he's not this dynamic runner. That's the other thing. People make Hurts out to be this running quarterback. He's not. Jalen Hurts is not the runner that Jaden Daniels is. He's not the runner that Josh Allen is.
People think he is because he scores a lot of touchdowns and because of the tush push, and frankly, because he's a black quarterback. Yes. You're like, oh yeah, but that's not his forte.
It's a lazy narrative. He had 10 carries for 16 yards in this, and again, probably 6 of those are the tush push.
Yeah.
He is not a guy that wants to take the ball down and run. He's just not. He is not a scrambling guy, and I think at times, and Brady even said at the beginning of the game, he holds onto the ball. He has a hard time sometimes deciphering what's going on, and their offense turns into a lot of go balls and just throw the ball up to Smith and A.J. Brown, and that's why you see some of them get frustrated. But when he has the game that he had, and I thought he did a great job of checkdowns, he did a great job of getting the ball out on time. He goes 20 of 28 for 246. If that is Jalen Hurts, and then you compare that with the best running game in football and that elite offensive line, and look, you can't say enough good things about Saquon Barkley. I mean, look, I know the MVP is going to go to Lamar Jackson, or Josh Allen's going to go to Lamar Jackson. The best player, the most important player, is Saquon Barkley. As he goes, that offense goes. And when you combine Saquon Barkley with that defense and you get that Hurts, that can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That will beat the Kansas City Chiefs. The question is, do we get that Jalen Hurts? Do we get this version of the offense? Because that is the best this Philly offense, and it's the best that Jalen Hurts has looked all year.
No question.
And now we got Saquon dealing with the calf. He wasn't 100% after the big run. Got 2 weeks. Can this version of Philly show up? Because this version of Philly is scary good. Absolutely scary good. And for Washington, it just, you were playing with house money. You shouldn't have been here. You earned your place there. And I thought, maybe this ends up being if they were to get this game, it would be like when the Falcons got to the Super Bowl with Jamal Anderson, or,
sure,
the Carolina Panthers with Jake Delhomme. You see it.
Yep.
You see teams that probably shouldn't be there that go on these runs. And I thought Washington may have a chance of that, but Philly was too much.
Way too much.
And that just, cream of the crop. And now we get the two best teams in football, especially with the Lions and their situation with them being hurt. And I know people aren't necessarily excited about it, but I am. If that version of Philly shows up, I can be stoked for this Super Bowl, because that Eagles team is really, really fun to watch. And what both of these defensive coordinators, two masters in Spags and Fangio, and the defensive talent, especially on the Philly side of the ball, God, they're good.
This text came in earlier on the fan text line, and I thought it was pretty good. They said, do we think the Eagles feel like the Ohio State of the NFL? A very cult-like following. One week the fans want to fire their head coach. The next they're going to try to win the championship. It feels like there's been so much negativity around Sirianni and control. I mean, they were infighting coaches on the sideline like 2 months ago, and yet here they are. It feels like they just they just find a way to get there. And like, they should have been maybe playing more like this all along, but if they're just putting this together now and there's more of it, yeah, the Chiefs might be in trouble.
I can see that. I can see that comparison. But Philly really hasn't had, like, I mean, the one loss at the beginning of the year by one to Atlanta, and they lost to the Buccaneers. That one was pretty ugly. And then the Commanders got him 36-33, you know, toward the end. It took a while for Fangio's defense to really gain traction. And when DeJean and Cooper really kind of rounded into form, remember those two, and Quinton Mitchell, like Quinyon Mitchell, mm-hmm. like their rookie defensive backs.
Yeah.
They have really, really, really rounded into form. And they had a phenomenal game. And so I think as they've really kind of grown and developed, and you've added Cooper DeJean to Mitchell, who started the year and has been phenomenal. And then you've seen kind of the N'Kobe Deans and the Nolan Smiths kind of take that next step to go along with the best defensive tackle in the football right now, Jalen Carter.
He's so good, man.
So the defense has really come along. And then the passing game, the run game has been there all year, the dominant offensive line. It's just the passing game. And I honestly don't know. I don't think the passing game, like the Ohio State one, like you said, like kind of the flip, the switch got flipped. I don't know if the switch got flipped.
No, but it looked as good as it has.
That's why that's the thing that scares me.
Yeah.
If the old Philly passing, you will not beat the Chiefs with the 29th best passing attack. You won't beat them just throwing goal balls up and throwing 12 passes. You're not just going to run it down Kansas City's throat and just, you know, play kind of this bully ball thing. I don't think that will happen. So against that Spags defense and all the looks he's able to throw, you can Hurts play that way. Remember a couple years ago in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts played the best game of his life. Like, he was the reason that Philly should have won that game.
Yeah.
But their defense couldn't hold up their end of the bargain.
Right.
I think this Philly defense can. I think it can hold up its end of the bargain. I think it's going to be on the other side of things. Because you know that they're going to sell out to try to stop Saquon Barkley, and I don't know if you can stop him, but you can probably slow him down. And at some point, Jalen Hurts, against some of those creative Spag looks, is going to have to stand in the pocket, figure some stuff out, find the open guy, and then deliver the ball on time. Can he do that?
And that's what I'm excited about is that chess match, because I don't know that Washington had the dudes or the scheme to really force him into more trouble, but I feel like the Chiefs might. And so that matchup, Hurts versus Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense, I'm really excited for. I'm excited for the other side of things too, because Vic Fangio has been doing some magic. I mean, you mentioned how good some of those guys are on the defensive side of the ball for the Eagles. They're making it work with rookies. They're making it work with veterans, and they're making it work with some castoffs like Bond and guys that other people didn't want have been turned into Pro Bowl caliber players. What did you see from the defensive unit that at least helped slow down Washington on Saturday? Because we noted that Washington hung with them for a while there.
Yeah.
The score not necessarily indicative of as close as the game was for most of it, but that defense for Philly slowed down slowed down Washington in a way that we haven't seen this playoffs yet.
Well, first off, they took away the run game completely, and we've seen it this year when Washington has gotten bogged down. It's simply because if you take away their run game, I'm not going to say that Daniels is really special, but you take any quarterback and you take away his run game, and I think they limited them to, I think what I'm looking here, I want to, outside of Jaden Daniels scrambling. Yeah, Brian Robinson, 11 carries, 36 yards. Eckler, 8 carries, 15 yards. So again, make them one-dimensional. You take away the run game. And I thought Philly looked at that and they said to the Commanders, where does Daniels most struggle? Again, reading defenses, putting it over the middle of the field. They took away the ghost stuff. They tried to take away the outside. And you're not going to completely stop Washington. Daniels and McLaurin are really special players, and Zach Ertz had a great game. But again, I just thought Philly had a great game plan of, you're not going to run the ball on us, and you're not going to get over the top. You will beat us going down the field. And by the way,
and that's part of why Ertz had a great game, is because that was their choice.
That was their choice. Like, yeah. And you look at those turnovers, a lot of those were forced turnovers. The Eckler one was a great punch out. I mean, that is a Philly defense that is going for that ball. And that's what I love about Philadelphia and what I love about Kansas City. I know some people are kind of poo-pooing this and like, oh my God, we don't like either one of these teams. Like, we've seen this before. I don't. I'm excited. even though I don't particularly root for either one of these teams, this is excellence on both sides of the ball. I think if you were to say that there was one weak link, it's Jalen Hurts, and that's the part that's scary. You would think that in a game that you could, the Philly defense greater than, right? It's better than the Kansas City defense.
Yeah.
But the Kansas City defense just shows up time and time again, right? We look at Philadelphia and you say from the outside, from the running back and the skilled players, running back and receivers, clearly advantage Philadelphia, right? But then you look at the quarterback, the most important position in the game. And we saw this, Josh Allen versus Pat Mahomes. That's true greatness. Mahomes slightly better than Allen, right? And now we look at Hurts and we look at Mahomes, and I think Andy Reid and that offense versus Philly, that is that enough to overcome, I think, the talent level difference than Philadelphia? And so I
because it does feel like there's way more talent when it's Philly defense versus KC offense. There's more talent on the Philly side. It's a question of can the KC offense scheme well enough to beat that talent?
Yeah, and so I just think this is a really, really, I think it's a really, really fun X's and O matchup, and there's going to be some wrinkles. Because, you know, both teams, you know, are going to be ready. But, like, Andy Reid with a couple weeks to prepare is terrifying. I thought that was the best Kansas City's offense has looked. Remember, this Kansas City offense, I think, has only scored 30 points twice. Once was against, like, the Carolina Panthers, and I think they may have done it against the Bucks. This is not like this super high-flying offense that you think about when you think about Mahomes.
No, and that's the thing is, that's the biggest discrepancy from where this dynasty started. When they had Kelce in his prime, Tyreek Hill in his prime, and dudes running all over the field, now it's like, it's not exactly bubblegum and floss, but they are piecemealing some of that together too.
But when you look at Kansas City and the game plan they had, I thought their offense was phenomenal against Buffalo's. And you saw that early on. And Buffalo made some adjustments in the second half and we were able to slow them down. But, I mean, give Kansas City credit for – I mean, they're doing this with a washed-up DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
A cast-off Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yep, maybe washed up as well.
Kelce, who didn't really have it – he had a big game last week, didn't have a big game this one.
And hasn't had a big season.
Doing it without a real feature back, they found a way to get Kareem Hunt to somehow revert back to old.
Somehow Hunt and Pacheco have been like just enough.
Xavier Worthy, who didn't do a ton all year, has now kind of developed into this kind of fun little...
He's like a reliable slot option for them.
Yeah, and he's become kind of this fun little gadget player, not necessarily the deep threat. So, you know, and they've kind of... And they're dealing with their own offensive line issues. They shuffled their all-pro left guard. They moved him out to tackle. But ultimately, when you have Andy Reid and you have 15 back there, it's just they find a way to make things happen. And I just thought it was interesting that in the biggest game of the year, I thought their offense looked as good as it's looked all year, whereas Buffalo kind of came out tentative and a little slow. And Philly, at the same way. Philly came out with an offense that it certainly had problems, and right from the get-go, Barkley breaks the big, touchdown run, and Hurts comes out, starts throwing dimes, starts slinging around, and I think you just have two teams playing their best at the right time. And if those title game performances are any indication of what we're going to get in the Super Bowl, dude, sign me up for it. Let's go.
You mentioned how good Andy Reid is when he has extra time to prepare. 21-4 in his career, coming off an extra week. That is the best in NFL history.
Yeah, and I expect. It, to me, if I were to take one thing that would scare me if I'm an Eagles fan, it's Hurts in that offense against Spags. In crucial moments, we have now seen multiple years in a row, we talked about it, the fourth and fourth and five play that basically ended the game for Buffalo, right? The mug look and the Dalton Kincaid miscatch, right? Go look at that play and look at the one that ended the Super Bowl last year with the 49ers. Mugged pressure look, bailout, confuses an offensive line, get pressure on a quarterback, thanks for coming, game over, Kansas City, right? That was against Brock Purdy, and that was against Josh Allen. And Josh Allen is as good as anyone in football. I think Brock Purdy is very, very smart pre-snap.
Hard to confuse, generally.
Hard to confuse. And Jalen Hurts, on the other hand, is someone that really struggles, I think, with pre-snap recognition. He struggles with when you show him one thing and give him another. They were even talking about in the game a little bit that when you get a lot of these teams that bail at the snap, and he has to readjust on the fly to what he sees.
Kind of his count and where guys are.
That can be really problematic. And with 2 weeks to prepare, I want to say Philly can do this, but it scares the living daylights out of me that in big moments, I think this will be a close game, in big moments, third and fourth downs, when I got Spags dialing,
forces you to pucker.
When I got him dialing something up against Philly, that's really scary. And maybe Saquon Barkley's enough. Maybe their ability to just run the ball and keep Kansas City honest, maybe that's enough. But that's the biggest matchup. If I had to, like, my way too early, circle this, and that decides the game, there's going to be four or five third or fourth downs where he's going to come up with a unique kind of pressure look. Can Hurts figure it out, solve it? The other thing, too, is this offensive line that Philly has is much better than some of these other lines. It's going to be harder to confuse them, but gosh, he's a master. He makes a lot of O-lines and a lot of quarterbacks look silly. That's a big mismatch. That's an absolute mismatch in this game. But I don't know if America's excited about this, but I think you are getting two elite football teams.
And that's the thing is, I'm not somebody who's going to complain because it's a matchup we've seen before. I want the two best teams to play, and it seems like that's what we're getting at the end of this postseason. Nobody got lucky being here. Feels like the teams that are supposed to be here are going to be here, and now you have some of the best coaching minds and best players in the game going head-to-head. It's hard to ask for anything more.
Yeah, and someone's saying, like, is Philly going to spy Mahomes? I do think that they've had the ability with their defensive line and their athletic guys that can run around. I do think this Philly defense is going to be able to contain Kansas City. And again, go watch Kansas City this year. It's a good offense. It is not a team that's putting up like silly numbers. There's not. It's a good offense with Patrick Mahomes. But it's an offense that you can hold down. And I think Philly's defense can hold them down. I think that is going to be a matchup problem for Kansas City on that side of the ball.
Well, we're running all kinds of hot routes here in the studio today. We have some more of this NFC Championship charcuterie that we can get to. Also have a couple other ways that we can go. A Pebble Beach prison challenge or an 11-year-old baseball fan's dream come true. We'll see what Stuke's game for on the other side. But first, here's a SportsCenter update. Welcome back to Primetime, a Buck and Sue edition. We had Schultzy. We no longer do.
No.
We wish him well.
Schultzy's lost it to the porcelain gods.
Yeah, little tummy troubles for our boy Schultzy. Well, what everyone's really interested in is that it's the 15th, maybe the 16th hole between the Jupiter Lynx and the Boston Common and the TGL League, all tied up 3-3.
Now with this NFL stuff, let's talk about indoor golf league.
That's right. They brought all the stars out for this one, so you know it means something.
Yeah, Mike Trout's there. Get excited. I didn't care on
Big Poppy.
I normally don't care on a Tuesday. Now I don't care on a Monday.
Yeah, there you go. Well, let's get back into a little bit more conference championship charcuterie before we pivot into the club hour. We were talking about this a little bit in the break, but people have bagged on Nick Sirianni an awful lot since he took over, and all the guy has done is win football games. Are you able to pinpoint why people think he is such a boob and why there's such a discrepancy in what he does and what he produces results-wise versus the narrative that is out there about him?
Well, one, he kind of seems like an ass.
A little bit. But aren't a lot of football coaches?
Yeah, and I just think there's an immaturity level there. You know, he's yelling and screaming at people and, kind of getting into it with fans. And then last year, he lost both coordinators, right? So they go to the Super Bowl. I mean, look at Nick Sirianni from an objective standpoint, right? He comes in, goes 9-8, whatever. And then he goes 14-3, and they go to a Super Bowl, and they damn near win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Jalen Hurts plays out of his mind. Defense just doesn't hold up. And there you go. Questionable pass interference call. Which, by the way, the Chiefs officiating stuff, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. There's some great YouTube clips of like all of the Chiefs.
The super cuts when you put it all together.
And you're like, that pass interference call against Philadelphia, that's as bad as it gets. I mean, it's horrific. But again, you could probably do that with every Super Bowl champ and certainly every dynasty, right? But so it goes 14-3, damn near wins the whole thing, doesn't. Then he loses both coordinators, right? Gannon leaves, Steichen leaves. And they go 11-6 after starting the year off, I think 10-0.
Mm-hmm.
And they go 11-6 and back their way into the playoffs and then just get annihilated. And you can make the argument that was the worst coach team in the NFL last year. It just was. It was an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, do we fire Sirianni? You know, just whatever.
And
so
there's been a lot of talk of that.
Yeah. So you get two new coordinators in and you know, this year it's a little up, it's a little down. The passing offense isn't really working that well, but you got this old line and Saquon Barkley. You go 14-3, and here you are. Now you're back in the Super Bowl. And if they beat Kansas City, you'll have no choice but to give Nick Sirianni his flowers.
Yes.
And yet they're going to sit there. I promise you, even if they win, you're going to be like, eh. This will be a Howie Roseman Super Bowl. It's one of the few times you look at the team and you say they win despite the coaching, right? It's just true. They have such a loaded roster. It's the best roster in football. And yet he will not get credit. If they win, he will not get viewed at the way we view Tomlin or Sean Payton or any. Most guys only win one Super Bowl, right? Like winning two Super Bowls.
Hard.
Really stinking hard. This will be a Mike McCarthy-esque thing. Well, he wins and you'll be like, well, you know.
Everyone will be like, his team was great. His coordinators were great.
Yeah. And it's just, I just don't think Sirianni can really. I don't know what he can do to break that mold. And I'm as guilty as anyone. I said all along, I thought what was going to hold them back was Nick Sirianni, but I mean, he's 48-20. He's been to two Super Bowls.
And he's had to like rebuild his staff now twice.
I'm going to shut up. I don't want to give Sirianni credit. I kind of think he's a boob, but give him credit for whatever he's doing. He has managed to put together a hell of a 4-year run. And I can't recall someone having this kind of resume and getting the amount of crap that he gets. And yet, what's the main reason for Philly's success? They went out in the offseason and they signed Saquon Barkley. If Saquon Barkley isn't here, this Philadelphia team...
Where do they stop? Yeah.
I don't think they win the division. I think Washington wins the division. I think they're like an 10-11 win team. Maybe they're a postseason team. But I don't think they're here. And so again, do we give Nick Sirianni credit? Or do we give Roseman credit? Or do we give credit to the Giants for not re-signing the best running back in football? It's a weird confluence of events because normally we give the coaches a ton of credit, even if they're CEO type coaches, kind of like Mike Tomlin. And yet we don't do that with Sirianni. And I'm not certain that whatever happens in the Super Bowl is going to change that. If they lose, it'll be because just it's Kansas City, right? It won't be anything about Philadelphia. If they lose, it will 100% be
the Kansas City blew it.
The Kansas City it'll just be Kansas City's dynasty. No, I'm saying if
Philly loses, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
If Philly loses, it won't be anything about Philadelphia. It's a three-peat. The amount of ass kissing and just greatness that'll be the Kansas City Chiefs, and they will deserve every inch of it. No one's won three of these. No back-to-back team has even ever gone to three of these. So already rarefied air. But I do think, unfortunately, I think if Philly wins, I don't think it'll be about Sirianni. I really don't. It'll be about...
No. There'll be about six storylines before Sirianni than it gets to.
The monkey of Sirianni's back will be like story 6 or 7. It'll be further down. It'll be the roster. It'll be something about how Kansas City, they finally, finally got killed. Hurts, Barkley, the defense, Fangio, and then somewhere down below that will be Nick Sirianni.
Way, way down the list.
Yeah, way, way down the list, and that's unfortunate because it should be a good storyline, and he should be getting more credit. Even for me, I'll take a step back because I've been critical of Sirianni. I thought last year was one of the worst coaching jobs I've ever seen. I just don't remember a team being that talented, collapsing like the way they did at the back half of the season, and he damn near lost his job. He had to rebuild everything, and here they are, 14-3. And I think they've got. I think they have a good shot against Kansas City.
I have a Super Bowl prediction for you. I don't know if there will be a bet offered on it. I hope there will be. The outcome, if it hits, might disgust you. I will get to that coming up next. You're listening to Primetime, 1080 The Fan. Careening into the club after a little bit of a shakeup. I heard something today, purely speculative, but boy, this individual might just be cheesy enough to follow through with it if it were to happen. Travis Kelce's getting a little long in the tooth, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
There was even speculation that he might be ready to hang him up after their last Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a decent chance that if they were to win this one, and even if they don't, he could be ready to hang him up. We'll see what's left there for him. But he's got his media thing going with his brother. And
he turns 36 this year. He doesn't need any money. Yeah, his media thing. I mean, they sold the rights to that podcast for like $80 million.
3 years, $100 million.
$100 million.
Yeah.
So he's fine money-wise.
They're doing great, and, you know, I don't know how many guys try to like ride it all the way to the end versus leave when they still got something left in the tank. Yeah. I don't know that he's got a lot left in the tank, but listen, if you finish off a three-peat, that might just be the horse to ride out on. Now,
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I mean, very few times do you get the John Elway, tip your cap and ride away.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe it is hard to go out when you know that your team is going to be back every year, but yeah, that leaving on a three-peat and going to hang out with Taylor Swift and my $100 million and her $1 billion.
$100 billion.
That's not a bad way to do it.
So speaking of Tay-Tay, and this is what popped up earlier today, and I'm like, you know what? By the way, did you hear Travis Kelce's post-game speech where he was trying to sing, do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight?
No.
It's just as bad as you would have imagined. I don't need to find it. I don't need to play it.
I've heard him doing
his
bits.
His post-games are so cringe.
Yeah, they're bad.
Which makes me think, if there were a bet on the board, I would take this, a Super Bowl win for Travis Kelce riding off into the sunset while proposing to Taylor Swift on the field after the game. Tell me you couldn't see that. What kind of odds can I get on that? Do the old Ian Johnson, Boise State. The way that guy has acted like a goon.
Yeah.
Like, I can absolutely see this.
Boy, I had not considered that. And that's a... You know, there's two types of people in this
world. And she may not want that.
She may not want it, right? She's the most... I mean, arguably, she's the most famous woman on the planet, right? I don't know who else, planet-wise, across the globe, I don't know who's more famous than Taylor Swift, right?
Very few, if any.
Your whole life is lived in front of a camera. So does that mean you're comfortable with being proposed to in front of an audience of 150 million? Or is that one of those that you're like, oh my God, this is something that's so private, you're like, I don't want to share it?
Which also begs the question, if it's not her thing, I would think that Travis would have enough awareness to not do it if she wasn't going to like it.
Yeah.
But what if he just does it because he thinks it's the right thing and she actually wants to say no? Is she going to say no after the Super Bowl?
No, you don't. I'm convinced of two things. One, you know whether or not your lady is proposed at the stadium.
Yeah.
We all see those, you know, proposals at the hockey game or at the NFL baseball game, whatever. You know whether or not your lady is into that. If you make that proposal and you are not 100% guaranteed of a yes, if she isn't sending you Pinterest photos every other day of wedding rings and are like,
ring
when
design,
the hell are we doing this?
Shape, yeah.
Then, my man, you don't have balls of steel. You're just a moron. You do not throw that public...
No.
Winging a prayer out there. No, that is a rock solid guarantee. John Anthony confirmed information. She's going to say yes.
Ah, I'd love to get engaged after the Super Bowl.
And Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, if they have... They have talked. There is no way that either one of them is clueless about what the other's feelings are.
You wouldn't think one would surprise the other at this point.
No. And as much as I can't stand Travis Kelce, and I have nothing against Taylor Swift, I find Taylor Swift to be fine. She seems like a decent person. I don't even think her music is bad, right? I got nothing against Taylor Swift. Normally, I would say that, oh my God, gag me with a spoon, three straight Super Bowls and you do that. That would be amazing. That would be the only thing that would save me. If the Chiefs win another Super Bowl, I'm already having to give them all the credit in the world. And you win three in a row, you call it what it is, it's the greatest dynasty in the history of the NFL. It just is. Four Super Bowls, 7 years, three in a row, no one's ever done it, crown them. I'll even start listening to the argument that Mahomes is the best to ever do it, right? I mean, 7 years and you're already, you know, you're where you're at, I'll listen to the argument. The only thing that's going to spare me from the nausea of that would be the moral just outrage from NFL fan, from right-wing person. They would be absolutely livid.
People's heads would explode.
That Taylor Swift hijacked and you would hear how dare she and how dare he, and they're taking it away. I'm all for it. If Kansas City wins, Travis, my man, you get down on one knee and you break out the biggest damn diamond ring, the Kobe Bryant I'm sorry apology ring. Get that son of a bitch out there and let's do it. Right there on the 50-yard line. Let's go. And that would be the greatest thing to ever happen in the history of postseason celebrations. All about it. And then retire, right? She says
off into
yes,
the sunset.
And then on the field, be like, I've done everything. I'm the greatest tight end of all time. Four Super Bowls. Flip the double bird to everyone. you know, a white horse comes out, plays some crappy Taylor Swift white horse song, love story, and away they go. Right up the tunnel.
And then I want Andy Reid to officiate the wedding.
Yes.
That's my dream.
In coaching attire.
Yes, in the quarter zip.
In that jacket.
Yeah.
Bundle Rooski, let's go. Get that weird guy from the State Farm commercials. Get him out there. Let's go. Let's do it.
We got to get over to the club. What is DeepSeek and why is it tanking our stock market? That's coming up next. You're listening to Primetime, 1080 The Fan.